KPCA LP, Petaluma, California, 103.3 FM. Okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Inside Petaluma.
Good morning. It's Friday.
It's Friday. I'm Cindy Thomas. I have Jason Davies and Janice Peter Thompson here with me.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. How was your week?
It was a good week. It was, what did I do? I can't remember. No.
You had a granddaughter.
Well, I have my granddaughter here. She's 11 years old, and she's been going to school in Petaluma with our grandson, who's in kindergarten over at, what's the school on Webster Street? I always forget the name. Not McNair. McKinley. Not
yes.
McKinley.
Yeah, it is.
No. No, McKinley's by Jack in the Box. I always forget the name of the school. That's crazy. I know. And so she's been going there every day, working with the teacher, and the kids just adore her. And so it's been a really good week. So we get a little break in the morning, and she gets to do her thing and feel important, which all 11-year-old young women should feel empowered.
Yeah. How about you, Jason? How was your week?
Busy week. Lots of stuff. Lots of work. Lots of business. it flew by. So.
Yeah. It flew by, but I had a lot on my plate this week. I'm just glad it's over.
I feel like mine is just starting.
I looked at my calendar for Saturday and Sunday, and I was so pleased to see there's nothing. Except I am going to go to the fundraiser for the Phoenix on Saturday night.
Oh, nice.
Is it Stories with Tom and Jim, or I can't remember what the title of it is.
Well, Tom and I went to high school together.
Yeah, Tom Gaffey.
We're in the same class.
Tom Gaffey and Jim Aegis are going to tell stories.
Oh, that's great.
And raise money for the Phoenix.
So oh, nice.
Look towards completing their improvements. And we have a guest today.
Hello.
We have Emily Sherrier, the publisher of the Petaluma Artist Courier, with us today.
That's me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks welcome. For having me.
Yeah.
Always love coming on local radio.
Yeah. Have you been on the air here?
Been on Rabbi Ted's show.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Boy, Rabbi Ted really gets around.
He does.
He got me like the first week I started.
Wow.
He was on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I should have listened to that show so I wouldn't be redundant. Sorry in advance if we come in.
It's necessary. We're all in media. We know we have to tell the story.
At least three times before it even gets to a certain level.
Absolutely.
How long have you been working with the Artist Courier now?
Well, that's a complicated question because I've come back as publisher since July, so I've been there for almost a year now. But I originally was there as editor from 2013 to 2015. So I had a few years and then I took off to Texas and finally moved back because nobody wanted to stay in Texas. That was not the plan.
I can understand that.
Did you have family with you there?
My husband got a really good job offer that lured us out there and allowed us to save up enough money to hopefully buy a house here, which
nice.
Is a tricky feat for
yes, it is.
A lot of people.
And how did you like Texas overall?
Texas was interesting. I'd never set foot in Texas before I moved there, which some people were like, oh, you should go visit before you move there. I was like, no, if I see it, I might not go back.
Right. This was Dallas?
This was Dallas.
So did you check out the grassy knoll and all
that? Oh, I lived a block from the grassy knoll. I drove over that spot every day on my way to work. It was really weird. Yeah. If you're ever in there, go to the 6th Street Museum. It's fabulous. It's super interesting, and you get to stand in the spot where... You know,
pretty creepy.
Oh, it's real creepy. But I was happy to be in Dallas. On the drive-in, we stopped in Amarillo. Do not say Amarillo. They don't like that there. They will correct you to Amarillo. Which, it was not a good introduction. That's a rough town in terms of just everything bad about Texas in one place. But Dallas was wonderful. It's super metropolitan. Yep. It's incredibly progressive.
Yes.
It's a little blue dot in the red sea of Texas.
They were all Beto signs in Texas. This last, you know, when it was between him and Ted Cruz, I just talked to a friend of mine who lives there and who's here just for a short visit.
Yes. It's hugely popular. Yeah. It won 67% Hillary, the city of Dallas, obviously, not the state of Texas, by the way. So I felt like I was, you know, it's like any big city. There's amazing art, and it's all free there, like Washington, D.C., like museums and stuff
free. There's a connection between the amount of exposure you are to other things and ideas and art and culture and your politics. It's just not a coincidence.
Well, there's a connection between Dallas and Petaluma when it comes to art. Because the wastewater plant that Patricia Johansson helped design the ponds is the salt harvest mouse and an overlay of the monarch butterfly. She actually did a project in Dallas, which is called Fair Park Lagoon. That was a flood control project, is what it was actually designed for. And so I'm just looking up Fair Park, and it would be interesting to see if it still looks the same as it did when it was built. So
Fair Park is beautiful.
Well, that's
so it's like a sister city, sort of, unofficially.
Kind of like a sister city, exactly. And so that's why, you know, we really need to promote the wastewater plant, because an actual world-renowned environmental artist helped design that.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
I was surprised how much I was sad to leave Dallas when we decided to move back, but so happy that I ended up back here. That was kismet, quite frankly. I just went out to lunch with John Burns, my predecessor, because we had stayed in touch while I was traveling, and he said, "Nobody knows this, but I'm retiring. You should take over for me." Here I am.
I noticed that you're very close with John. You have a...
We're good. Yes, absolutely. We're very different in a lot of ways, which has been an interesting... There's been a lot of feedback about that with the paper, because I think people can tell we have different styles.
I'm just curious why he's writing a weekly an op-ed.
Every other week, yes.
Yeah, and then, I will just put in my viewpoint that I was disappointed when he started going after Lula Bell Sykes in one of his articles. And this is a young woman who's at Stanford. She had the highest GPA. There was no reason for that to happen, and it just felt like bullying a woman. And other people kind of, read it the same way I did. And other people don't even know what happened.
Yeah.
A little disappointing.
That happens with opinion pieces. Not every opinion is for everybody, obviously.
Yeah, that's very true.
Freedom of speech is our...
But he was really good on some other ones.
Yeah, I was happy that it came around on climate change.
Yep.
Because it wasn't that long ago that he was advocating for a lot of traffic-inducing projects in Petaluma, and it didn't seem that GHGs were as much of a concern. So I'm glad that he's come around on that.
Well, same with Fine Balance. It sounds like he came around on that also in one of his editorials, and looking at how that and the Rotary were kind of looking at this as maybe calling it Suds for Tubs for their yearly beer festival. And so that was kind of an interesting one also.
So we can
to John Burns' opinions, obviously. That's for him to do.
We should have John on the show.
That would be a good idea.
If you would like to talk about that, I recommend contacting him. He's around. He's very active in Petaluma. He's the president of the Petaluma Valley Rotary, I think it is. He's on the PEF board. He is on the Governance Affairs Committee with the Chamber. He has not given up Petaluma at all, which is wonderful. He's put a lot into this town.
Yeah. It's a great town to be a part of. So
it's a wonderful town to be a part of. I like to joke that I didn't grow up in Petaluma, but I feel like I did because I grew up in very rural West Marin. So if we needed, milk or gas or basically anything, we had to come to Petaluma.
I was born and raised in San Rafael. So.
There you go.
And I did live out in Forest Knolls for a while.
So. Oh, that's where my mother ultimately ended up, was in Forest Knolls. But I started out... I would say if you go past the cheese factory and make a left down that driveway, that's my neck of the...
Oh, really? Well, since you brought up milk, we can, maybe segue into that Strauss Creamery is building a producing factory,
production facility
in Rohnert Park.
Yeah.
And but the, apparently they're still keeping headquarters in Petaluma, which is on Industrial Drive. And I just think they are a really good company showing how you can be environmentally sound and yet produce milk that people say, you know, because they recapture everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is what they do.
They've done, they're such a fabulous business model, yeah. front and backwards. Literally, the house I grew up in, they bought the farm next door.
Oh, really?
And have a little, some of their cows out there. And it's beautiful. Oh. I mean, I look at those cows and I'm jealous because they have this beautiful, yeah. huge pasture and this lovely green grass we're lucky to have this year with all this rain. I know people are sick of it, but
I
personally love it. Yeah,
me too.
That's where we get the green.
Did you know his mother by any chance?
I didn't. No, I didn't grow up with any of them. They were age-wise, we were just
Well, she's an amazing woman. She actually helped start Malt, which is equivalent to the Sonoma County
Open Space District. Yeah.
And because they were progressive enough to know that you wanted to keep farming viable.
Yes.
And one of the ways was to purchase rights.
Yes. Malt's been a gold standard.
Exactly.
And you see the signs every time you drive out in the area I grew up in of protected by malt.
Exactly.
You know, it's fabulous.
And people don't always realize how it started. And she was just one of other people. But they were very, very progressive.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Especially Point Reyes. They have so much influence out there.
Well, her and her husband were, her husband was in a concentration camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if she was. But they came from, like, Holland or that area to the United States and immigrated and came to Marin County. And then just brought progressive means for farming.
Very nice.
Yeah. You should have them on the show, too, to learn more.
Yeah. Well, we got plenty of time.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So, were you raised in the Valley?
Guantanamo
Valley?
Yeah, well, sort of. I went to school out there because that was the direction my parents drove to work, basically. Mm-hmm. But I worked at the movie theater in Petaluma in high school.
Oh, nice.
I went to Casa Grande's prom.
What year was this?
I was there 2001 and 2002, which 2002 was the year I graduated high school. It's a wonderful place to grow up, just having all of that free space. It was hard to get people to come over. I'll say that. Nobody's parents wanted to drive them to my house.
Right. Yeah.
But in terms of just being able to walk out your door and go out into the hills, and that's what me and my sister and my brother did growing up.
The way I was raised around here also. Yeah. You know, it was just you just walked out, and there you were in Mother Nature, and you could go – you would ask permission to walk on people's property, and –
I don't even think we were that good.
Well, we did. Or people would ask us permission. You always gave it.
Or you asked for forgiveness after.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we had horses, and we would just take our horses up into it was a wonderful way to grow up.
Oh, that's great.
So, University of Oregon, that's Eugene?
Eugene, yes. Fabulous little town,
it
too.
It is nice. So how'd you like it there?
I loved Oregon. I kind of ended up there by happenstance. I was actually, I went to a very interesting high school in Marin, Sir Francis Drake High School, which has academies. And I was in the Communications Academy, which George Lucas funds and is this wonderful video production. And I was very obsessed with the idea of going to make movies and actually got into Chapman University down in L.A., which has a great film program, and I was going to go there. And then the summer before I headed to college, I did an internship with Universal Studios, where I worked on film sets down in L.A. for a few months, and I hated it so much. I was like, oh, I cannot be in this industry. No offense to the film people.
What
I have all the respect. That was just big egos and obnoxious attitudes, and women are not treated well, and it was everything I didn't want my professional life to be built around, and I had gotten a big scholarship to Oregon, and kind of contacted them last minute, and they're like, yeah, sure, we'll still take you. And so I was going to go there for a year or two to figure out what I wanted to do. And they have an amazing journalism program, and I just kind of fell into it, and it was like a fish to water. It was all my favorite things, so it was a great fit.
So you started as a reporter.
I did, yes. I am a little unusual in that I come from the newsroom to the publisher side.
It's kind of cool, though.
It's wonderful, actually, especially in our company, because Sonoma Media Investments, our parent company, which also owns the Press Democrat and the Sonoma Index Tribune and Sonoma Magazine and a few other publications, is very departmentalized. And we have a revenue department that handles revenue, and I have nothing to do with it. I mean, I help them and, you know, coordinate with them, but I'm not in charge of it in any way, which is very unusual for a publisher. Usually publishers are in charge of the advertising side. I get the benefit of just doing all the things I love.
You don't miss the reporting?
Well, I do some of it with the Argus. I'm also the publisher of the Sonoma Index Tribune, so I can write for both of those publications. Kind of as I see fit, which is pretty much the dream.
Wow, that's great.
When we see the editorials and it just has X's for the names, is that you or is that
that's our stupid web system. Matt Brown writes our editorials,
okay.
Our editor. He has a great editorial voice. And John Burns used to when he was in that role. Although he hadn't for the last year or two before I got there. He had kind of transitioned it all to Matt. But yes, he does our editorials.
You have to review them, of course. And
no, actually,
no?
I don't.
They're supposed to be separate, aren't they? Aren't you supposed to be separate from the editor?
Not as a publisher, no.
Okay.
Publisher oversees everything.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
You know, John probably would have read them. Quite frankly, I trust Matt.
Right.
He's
you don't have to.
Been in this town for 5-6 years now as editor, and he wins a lot of awards for his editorials, so
yeah.
I kind of let him do what he does. And I agree. If I had problems with the editorials, I probably would be more involved.
So the thing I was referring to
is a
glitch. You know what I'm talking about?
The X's.
I thought that was like trying to be anonymous.
No, it's so obnoxious. We have this very complicated content management system, and when you it defaults X's if nothing else is put in, which we need to find a workaround for, clearly.
Yeah. Well, I just want to bring up something that you talked about women when you were down at Universal Studios and how they were treated. This last week, I decided to go to the library because there was an event, and it was women in the military. So it was a woman from World War II, the Korea War, Vietnam, and then there was actually a woman who immigrated to this country and was in the Army. And then there was a woman from the Coast Guard. And it was really fascinating. I actually brought my 11-year-old granddaughter there, so I was hoping that she would listen to what these women said, and that was not really the case.
Oh, no.
We were riding back and forth saying, please be respectful. But her sister would have gotten a lot out of it. But what came out was the sexual assaults in the military.
Such a horrifying
And
thing.
This one woman in the audience who was in the military, retired, she really started speaking out loudly about it. And it was just, it was heartbreaking because it is continuing to this day.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I just think it's so important for young women or women and men to understand that women are in the military, what they've contributed, and how the difference was even from World War II to now. But the woman from the Coast Guard, she was actually emotional over about the sexual assaults. And it was something that I would like to see the schools, you know, more people like this panel going into schools and actually talking and being honest about what happens.
I wish that they would, because I think it's actually, this is probably an unpopular opinion, but a little horrifying that they're trying to recruit women into the military and can't protect them from this. So at least if you're going to recruit them, let them know what's going on before you recruit them.
That's right. Yeah. And so, but it was a really good event.
Catherine Reinhart
organized it.
She's such a treasure to this community. We are so lucky that people like Catherine exist in this world, because I think we would repeat a lot of our old mistakes without people reminding us of where we came from like she does.
History makes a difference.
It absolutely does. Yes. And she's kind of a savant. I use her probably more than I should, and I can be like, hey, what was on the corner of Washington and Keller in 1935? And she's like, well, first it was this, and then it was this. And I don't know how her brain fits all that information in it. Mine does not work.
You can always ask Janice about any of that
stuff. On different levels. Actually, the other day there was something on one of the Facebook sites, and it was about the Petaluma River Bridge. And so it was showing about how that was being designed. And so I, of course, had some history on that. Because Phillips, Erickson, and Weisberg was the contractors that built that bridge, also the Vallejo Bridge and also the Napa River Bridge.
Yeah.
And they also did the road base for the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge, and that was my uncle, Art Weisberg.
Oh, how fun.
And he was married to my dad's sister, Mildred Cater Weisberg. And they were married, actually, in the house on CN 7th Street, where what my grandparents built during the Depression. And so, you know, it's in this community, a lot of times, if you're Jewish, you don't necessarily have as much exposure as other people in this community. And so that was kind of a piece of history that that I got to share.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I was looking at some very cool pictures of that bridge. We're a sponsor of the Honky Tonk Piano Festival that our Petaluma Pete is doing for the Petaluma River Promenade. And as I'm sure everybody knows, we get a piano that we're going to cover with, in our case, we pulled
articles.
Over 500 articles about the Petaluma River dating back to the 1850s when we first launched, which was super fun to do, just to go through all that history in our archives. And the photos of the construction of that are just extraordinary. So yeah, we've handed all these over to an artist who's going to design a beautiful package that will get wrapped around the piano that'll be on display.
Great. I'd love to see some of those pictures.
Yes.
Because my cousins, one lives in San Francisco and one is in Hawaii, and when the bridge was being torn down, it was built so well that they had a heck of a time getting that bridge down, and I have a piece of rebarb about, you know, 2-3 feet.
Oh, how fun.
In my garage somewhere, and I was going to have it cut up and give one to each of my cousins, but I haven't done that yet. But at least I have the rebar in my garage.
You'll get there.
You know where it is in the garage, though.
I do believe I know where it's at.
Okay, yeah.
And if you look at my garage, that is hard to believe.
Yeah.
Yes, I am hoping I'm going to take, because I did JPEGs of all of these article headlines, I'm going to just put them all up in a gallery, and some very ambitious person will possibly flip through all 500 of them.
Wow. I read the Safari report last night.
Oh,
a lot of pages.
They love data dumps, that Safari.
Well, you know what?
Name.
I will disagree on a data dump, and everybody should read, go on to the agenda and read 11A and 11B and see really.
Which agenda?
On this Monday, April 1st agenda, City Council.
They're reading emails from constituents to council members and posting them publicly.
Well, it's also through Bay Area Air Quality Board.
It's pretty sleazy.
I don't think it's sleazy at all.
I think that one of the best editorials you guys did was on the
Jason
fact that Safeway has not been a very good neighbor.
Well, and I think
and they're proving it more.
Let's talk about this a little bit. I think you're absolutely incorrect on this because if you read this information.
I read it.
You read
I'm quoted in it.
Well, as far as some of mine is also. But if I don't read it as data dumps and I don't read it as taking people's emails. I take it as trying to find out really what is going on for the last 6 years on this project.
I'm going
to
donate
and
some
that's
money
what it is.
No gas here today.
Well, no, actually, you don't need to. You can just, the Salke, the gas station owner in Petaluma and Marin County, plans on funding the lawsuit. He said this 2 days ago.
Cool.
So somebody is funding a lawsuit, and it's not no gas here. They're just the conduit that they're using because it sounds really good when you're against children.
Well,
so I think that it's really important to read the documents very thoroughly and then kind of go backwards. One document that the city school sent in, if you go back two documents, Mike Healy had already been in correspondence with the city school, and then the city school writes a document saying, like, oh, we're so surprised that this is coming before the planning commission.
So
you got to go back and read the other documents.
So I want to talk about Emily. And I saw a really interesting tidbit. I was doing a little research trying to find out about it. There's a mention about you on the Center for Health Journalism about myself.
Oh, God.
While I was hired to cover entertainment in wine country, I found myself at the center of a seismic storm involving our local district hospital. It dominated my coverage the first 2 years in Sonoma and launched my career in health reporting. Now I'm just a wine country journalist trying to figure out one story at a time. So, seismic storm. Let's talk about this seismic storm.
Oh, well, this is some ancient history, and it's Sonoma-based, so I'm not sure how interested the Petaluma would be, but the quick thing is the hospital was seismically going to be out of sync with state regulations, and there was a huge debate of whether to retrofit it or just build a new one, and a lot of people thought retrofitting it was kind of putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. Mm-hmm. Building a new one, of course, brought up things like development in Sonoma, which was always like Petaluma, although even more so, I would argue, they are not interested in having things built without a lot of discussion. But they were threatening eminent domain on a property, a historic ranch property, to build a large hospital complex. And it didn't ultimately end up happening, but it did take 4 years of fighting to figure it all out.
Wow.
They've now seismically retrofitted. They're good to go for the next 45 years, I believe it is.
So it literally was a seismic storm.
Well, I always joke that it was a bait and switch move because I was brand new out of college when I got hired in Sonoma. It was my first job. And they were like, oh, we need somebody to do our community coverage and our calendar and da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, oh, that sounds good. I could do that, you know. And then I got there and like, oh, we're also going to give you the hospital beat since you're here. And I was like, oh, okay. Not having any idea what was going on in the hospital beat.
I was following you, by the way, with the hospital beat during that time frame.
But I have to say it was one of the best educations I've ever had. One, I learned how healthcare actually works in America, which at 21 I had no idea, as I think most 21-year-olds don't. And I also learned how communities work and how communication works and doesn't work in smallish towns where neighbors are going up against neighbors in these debates. And I learned how sensitive people are when it's your neighborhood that's being discussed, and got a lot of respect for being so accurate on the point, like, because to me it might not seem like a big deal to, you know, have one little fact that's not totally accurate at the time. Now it does. But for the people reading it, it was a huge deal because it called into question everything else we were reporting. And so I very much appreciate the education of how towns like Sonoma and Petaluma operate when people disagree.
Yeah.
Did you ever come across the name Edie Granucci?
I did,
well,
yeah.
Edie Granucci was the first woman executive of the hospital because the man retired or left. I'm not sure what happened. But Edie is my husband's grandmother.
Oh.
So that's a connection to Sonoma.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's well regarded in that community. I know people still speak with a lot of reverence.
Yeah,
that's not the case of the current hospital.
She passed away about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
She would get up in the morning when she was the head nurse. It would be like 2, 3 in the morning. She'd just get out of bed and go down and make sure that all the nurses were doing what they were supposed to be doing. So she was very thorough.
Very lovely.
And a very good cook. And I still have some of her cookbooks.
Oh, those are such treasures when you can have those things that get passed along.
Did you ever work with Michael Cahill with the fire department?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Michael is also my husband's cousin. because...
You're just related to everybody.
Well, no, I mean, and then and Steve Serafini. Did you know Steve?
He was our sports editor.
Steve Serafini went to high school at St. Vincent's with my husband. So it's a... It's a little circle here. Steve's, Sonoma County.
Wife and my husband had cancer in the same year, and we got to be incredibly close with the Serafinis at that point. She's such
a
delight.
Wonderful.
Also, another funny Margaret Serafini story. On our first wedding anniversary, my husband had to have surgery, and so we were at her surgical center in Novato.
Exactly.
I have a very mild heart condition that only gets triggered when I'm incredibly anxious, which I was because I was worried about my husband's surgery. And so on our first wedding anniversary, while I'm waiting for him to go into surgery, I pass out in her surgical center, and we ended up side by side in hospital beds drinking juice for our first wedding anniversary with Margaret Serafini.
I'll bake it in my head.
Do you think they're any relation to Frank Serafini?
Who's Frank Serafini?
Frank Serafini was a friend of mine. He was actually killed, unfortunately, by a car last year, but he did the music and sounds for Tron and the original Star Trek movie and a lot of films.
Oh, wow. Petaluma guy? Or
no, he's not.
Okay.
It's, I mean, it's just probably same last name. But
I don't know how common Serafini is.
He's
down
in LA, and his family, I think, was from Colorado.
Oh.
So they're probably not related.
I don't think they're.
Oh, that's
probably not.
That sounds like a lovely friend.
But it's not a super common name.
Yeah, that's the only Serafinis I know, but who knows what that means.
And so you live in Petaluma now, right?
I do. Well, technically, just outside. If you go out D Street, I'm a country girl.
Cool.
I have to go back to my roots. We also moved back in February last year, so just after the fires when housing was not super available. And luckily, through the local West Marin network, we were able to wring some chains and end up in a fabulous little cottage in the woods. But
nice.
I'm 5 minutes out.
So you're outside of the city limits.
Technically, I'm outside, yes.
So that means you can't vote.
I can't, which makes me a totally neutral publisher.
Right.
And I like that.
And frustrated, I would imagine, because you're impacted by the decisions that the cities make.
I am, yes, absolutely. It's a little disappointing, I gotta say, but I think this most recent election was a good switch up.
You're happy with the outcome?
Yeah. We endorsed 2 out of 3 people who won, I believe.
Yeah, you endorsed Teresa and Kevin, right?
Yep.
And
Michael
Regan.
And I should know the
Was it Scott?
Alonzo?
No, I didn't do Scott. We did, of course, Dave King.
Oh, right.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's why I forgot about him, because he's obvious.
Right. Yeah.
Of course, Dave King.
I actually met with him yesterday.
He's a lovely person.
Yeah, he's easy to talk to, gives you enough time.
I think he really listens.
Yes, he does.
I do think he's an independent thinker on that council, which is refreshing.
I would tend to agree with you.
So are you and Matt part of the endorsement process?
Yes. So we met with everybody. This was a very hectic year because also with my Sonoma office, I had 37 endorsement interviews on my calendar in September and early October. So it was a lot. But an interesting look, while we're keeping on the theme of being the experience of women, I guess, I was fascinated by the number of candidates who would come in. Both of my editors in Sonoma and Petaluma are male, and not even look at me, and just speak exclusively.
Really?
Even when I asked a question, they would kind of side-eye me and be like, oh, acknowledgement. I'm going to answer your question talking
to
this.
Even the women candidates?
No, not the women candidates.
Okay.
I will say the women know better.
But
and some men do, too. I mean, there was a handful I'm going to keep that close, but that kind of became a barometer to me. If you won't listen to me, how are you going to listen to a female constituent?
Yeah.
You know,
so
if you automatically just show all your attention to the man in the room, that's a red flag for me.
Can we assume that the people you endorsed
did not do that? Yes. Yeah. You can absolutely assume that. Yes.
So next time, Saul, if you're going in for an endorsement interview, please make sure you make eye contact.
Because it is ultimately, like, we discuss everything, and in this case, we agreed, but if we ever didn't agree, it would be my call to make ultimately, so I always joke, like, I am the deciding factor in the room.
Yeah. So, in other words, John Burns was always the deciding factor.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was pretty
clear. That was pretty clear.
Yeah. John, without going there, I feel like there's a, well, I'm happy with the change.
I've heard that from some. I've heard the opposite from others. We just did a reader survey that we just got our results for, and there was definitely some criticism that people think we've gone too far left. And but the editorial voice of the paper is up to us. We don't, in my opinion, put it into our articles. Our editorials, absolutely, will have a slant to them because they're editorials. That's what they're there to do.
Well, reflecting community values isn't necessarily a bad thing. I mean, I think, by and large, just look at the way Petaluma votes.
Exactly.
I mean,
I think that we're happen to be in touch with the majority
exactly.
of our readers. Maybe
yes.
not everybody in Petaluma, but our readers, I think, we tend to align.
So Petaluma's a very changing town.
Have subscriptions
really moving in a different direction?
Well, that's an interesting question because
yeah.
subscriptions are in a strange place in our industry because most
yeah.
people are switching to digital. And,
yes.
you know, we...
That was my next question. What's the ratio?
We absolutely understand that. I personally have digital subscriptions. I used to get the New York Times, then I realized there was papers
yeah.
everywhere. And
you don't
I
have birds or cats?
No. And I would keep them being like, oh, I'm going to read that article. And then I would just have stacks of papers, like
I
a hoarder everywhere.
Yeah. I still do that.
And I'm a millennial. I'm happy on my
iPad or whatever.
Yeah, to read things. And I like the smaller environmental footprint.
Yep.
And so, of course, digital subscriptions are a fraction of the price of print subscriptions. So that creates a challenge for us to
yeah.
be able to keep the ship upright financially. But luckily, this small town has always had a lot of love for having a small town paper. That is my favorite thing about the comments we get from our reader survey is probably 8 out of 10 are, it may not be a perfect paper, but we were so happy we have a paper here in Petaluma that's just about us and is totally dedicated to our issues.
So just roughly, and you probably don't have the numbers, I'm just curious though, in terms of a breakdown, is more of the revenue coming from advertising? Is more of it coming from subscriptions? Is it just a kind of combination that's...
Consumer revenue is where the industry is going, which is subscriptions.
Yeah.
Obviously, print advertising has been on a decline slope. Now, we have monetized digital advertising
yeah.
more in recent years. So it's not in a complete replacement, but we're getting there. But, yeah, subscriptions are definitely...
Was it 50%, 60%,
70%? Of the actual revenue. Oh,
yeah.
Subscriptions are probably 25%.
And this is print and digital.
Yes.
So most of it. So most of it's ad.
Yes.
So.
Well, ads and events. Events are new, interesting area that the industry is really pushing towards. We have the Petaluma People's Choice Awards, which is a good source of revenue for us, as is the Women in Conversation events that our company throws, the North Coast Wine Challenge, the...
These fund the paper?
They, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I get digital, and I'm getting a lot more, you know, as I'm reading, and so I'm having to learn how to manage that to get it off so I can continue reading articles. And we have the New York Times, and Jerry and I were just having the conversation. He really wants to have a paper
yeah.
that he can touch in the morning, where yeah. I'm just happy to be sitting on my iPad. So we're going to be doing some shifting, so we're both accommodated.
It's such a personal thing, but one of the things I always find interesting, especially with, like, younger people or people with kids who are really busy, they like a paper because it's finite. Mm-hmm. There's a beginning and an end
right.
to it.
There's
a
no
digital, it's just endless. There's
right.
always another digital story to read, you know.
And there's pop-ups. There's all these distractions.
Right.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. They like having something that, like, this is all I need,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have to go beyond that, and...
Mm-hmm.
comforting to them to have it just be in one package, you know.
Yeah.
That's what Jerry, he wants one package because he really likes to do the crossword puzzle.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's like a huge thing. And taking the newspaper away from that crossword puzzle was, I think he's having withdrawals.
The New York Times is an industry icon for a million reasons, of course, but their crossword subscription alone, they are making like $1.5 million a year
wow.
on the crossword subscription,
yeah.
which I love so much
yeah.
that people are like, I don't care about your paper, I just want your crossword
puzzle. Is there a digital version of the crossword puzzle?
We are going to launch one next
month.
Yes, our crossword producer, Miles Miller, who is the sweetest man ever, who lives... in Vallejo, I believe, and he's this funny British guy. He started, this is such a weird side story, but I love it. He started making crossword puzzles because his parents loved doing crossword puzzles together, and when his father died, his mother was very depressed, so he started making her crossword puzzles about his father, like all the clues were related.
That's about her. Fun.
And she was just really good at it, and he... people asking him to do specialty ones for somebody's birthday or for, you know, whatever, and it just ultimately became a business for him. But he has just released digital crossword puzzles that we're beta testing right now just to make sure that it works on all of our platforms.
How about Word
and
Jumble?
Then we're going to be adding some other puzzles, too, because we've gotten interesting in the reader feedback. There was a lot of people who were like, my kid would interface with your paper if you had a word jumble.
Well, that's what my daughter and my husband, I mean, they're always sitting there doing the word jumble.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a connection between them.
And for us, of course, it's really beneficial to get kids interested in newspapers because they're not exposed to them like all of us were growing up, I'm imagining.
So are you planning an app? Because that would be super cool if you had a crossword app, and maybe it's free to subscribers and other people.
So it would be in our app. We already
okay.
have an app,
okay.
the Argus Courier app, so you'll be able to go
so
to the
be
puzzles
included
page.
In it.
And
you could just, I mean, seriously, just as a standalone crossword app, as a
if it
vehicle
takes
to
off,
advertise the
we
New York
definitely
Times.
Have talked about that. Same with doing a sports-only subscription. We have so many families who only care about our paper when
yeah.
their kid is playing
yeah.
football, you know, and so
right.
selling.
You could tease them with a little headline or something, you know, and they're playing the crossword and there's a little headline. Oh, if you only subscribe, you can get the whole story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
sure you guys have the wizards working on it.
One of the best things about having this parent company is we get a lot of resources
yeah.
of smart marketing
awesome.
Minds and things that are mostly focused on the press Democrat, but we get to piggyback on their knowledge, so we appreciate that.
That's nice. That's good. Huh.
Yeah.
So with big changes from the New York Times acquisition that really put the company in a better position?
It's been very interesting. I get a lot of questions, especially in Sonoma, because all of our main investors live in Sonoma.
Uh-huh.
Darius Anderson, Les Fidesz, Gary Nelson, you know, Bill Jasper. They're big Sonoma people. And
very political.
Very political. Very political. And that makes people very nervous.
Yes.
And I understand that nervousness. It's interesting. I'm on the board of the California News Publishers Association, and I was at an event recently where the executive editor of the LA Times was speaking. They were just bought by kind of a crazy political billionaire, and most of the discussion was of, you know, how are you dealing with the perception that somebody's monkeying with your newsroom, and you almost have to go hard the other way to show the
that there isn't a bias.
Yeah.
The perception's always there.
And
that's the hard thing
you
to
can't
stop.
You can't get away from
yeah.
it. I've kind of stopped trying. People are going to continue to say they monk in our newsroom. Trust me, if that was happening, I would walk out the door because I'm not the type that would allow or want to be associated with an organization where that was allowed. But recently, Bill Jasper filed a lawsuit against the city of Sonoma over a housing project he wants to build that the city won't let him build. And we made sure every single document of that lawsuit was posted to our website. We made sure that every single email communication that they had was out there, because it is critical for us to say, here's everything we know, and you can look at the source material yourself. We don't have to tell you what's going on. You can read it. We'll give you our version, but...
That sounds like a good best practice.
Yeah,
in general, with any big issue, to make sure that all the information is put online, because people don't always know how to navigate or access information.
It's something we'll be working a lot more on this year as digital subscriptions are becoming more the norm. We have to enhance our digital experience and make it worthwhile for people. And that's the kind of stuff, you know, that if you can get all of the city council documents from the city does a great job of posting it, but
you have to go to another step. And sometimes when somebody's reading an article, I mean, I was looking at during the flooding, I wanted to look up some information on, on gas stations that flooded and what really happened. Did they shut down the way they were supposed to? And what I found out was the one in Sebastopol, everything shut down properly. The one in Guerneville, and I haven't called Healdsburg to get the answer, but they had to do their weights and measures to make sure that there wasn't water in the tanks.
Okay.
And I haven't followed through with that. But on there, then all of a sudden there was like a geo tracker. And so I push geo tracker, and then you can look around your city or wherever and find out where there's contaminated sites in your city.
Wow.
And so by accident, I ended up on the geo tracker tracking contaminated sites in our town.
That's amazing.
And so so having that connection was helpful for me.
Yes.
When I was just looking something up.
Well, that's the advantage of digital.
Yes.
I mean, it, as much as it's nice to have a confined paper, and that's what it is, you're limited to that information that was printed in the morning or the day before or whatever, whereas you can have real-time links to the information that Janice is talking about, or campaign finance information. I mean, when in the paper, you would print some of the larger donations for the various candidates. Mm-hmm. But really, voters had to go online to the city website, or we posted it actually on the inside Petaluma.com site to see all the up-to-date campaign finance reports.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't even know that information is available. Yeah.
I have to credit the city of Petaluma's fabulous job of making documents available online, having also worked in Sonoma, where that does not happen, and you have to go down and ask for a paper copy of every single thing. Yeah. Oh, I love the city of Claire at the city of Petaluma.
Claire's the best.
The best person.
Yeah, she is. She really is. She's a real gem.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I just can't say enough wonderful things about her, because that's so critical.
You'd be amazed of how much is still paper, though.
Oh, I'm sure.
The packets you get when you run for council.
Ridiculous.
No, they're ridiculous, but they are reducing, and there is a lot more online.
Yeah,
it's you just have to know how to really use it to underline things, redline things. What do you really want to talk about? And that's not my.
I know the resources are limited, and so what they're doing is like probably
biggest priorities.
Yeah. But oh my God, I'm so thankful that they do it.
Well, we can talk about our new city manager, Peggy Flynn. I had the honor of meeting her last week.
Yes.
She is a great lady. I think she's a visionary. Mm-hmm. She doesn't see a day ahead of herself. She actually sees years ahead and sees the ramifications and how to make projects better. And I think she's a true leader, that she can work with the city council, because it seems like some of them go in different directions. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to have a really strong leader. And I was very impressed with her and her background.
I agree. And just that she actually understands this area.
Exactly.
It's so refreshing. I've seen so many city officials brought in that are just like, spend 2 years trying to figure out where the hell they are before they even can get to work at anything. And she is hitting the ground running, I can tell.
That was my opinion also. So I think it's really exciting for the community.
I'm thrilled. Yeah. And there's so many challenges in this city, mostly financial, obviously, that being the root of all other challenges, of course. And I'm hopeful that she finds some the forest through the trees, because that's a big job.
Well, it is a big job, but if anybody can do it, I think that she can.
I believe it, too.
And she's somebody, after having a conversation with her, you feel like you can actually be part of that process instead of on the outside, and that you can actually make the process be successful, because it's good for all of us.
I do get that impression from her, especially, that she's going to be a unifier and bringing people in, instead of kind of, no, we got this, stay at arm's length attitude, which the city has had some issues with in the past.
It's just kind of nice to have another woman leader in the community.
Well, and a strong woman leader. Yeah. I mean, you know, but she is sharp.
Yes.
We have a woman publisher.
I know. That's what I said. Another woman
great woman. And
it's lovely. I'm the second female publisher of the Argus, which is a lovely, lovely legacy to have. You know, as soon as I said that, I was like, and I don't have her name at the top of my head. If Chris Simpson was here, he would be shaking his finger at me, because he's like, you know this. She was a wonderful leader of the paper, and at a time when women running newspapers was pretty much unheard of. So I like having that legacy to live up to.
Yeah. having female reporters a long time ago is not something you heard much of either. So.
Absolutely. The whole industry has been entirely, and still, quite frankly, is, like many industries. But yet another thing I love about my company, and we have an executive team, all of us department heads of our different operations get together twice a month and have meetings, and half of them are women, and that's incredible. But
how many employees does the Argus Courier staff at this time?
The Argus Courier has Matt, Yusuf, David, JJ, full-time. So we have 6 full-time and 2 half-time.
Wow.
That seems
and
like
that's
a small staff.
Yeah, it is. I'd say 100. You
incredibly
know.
Small
share
staff.
Resources with Press Democrat.
Now, that's just the Argus staff. Like, we have designers that, you know, we share. We have ad staff that we share. We have business office people that we share. So we don't consider them Argus staff, because I don't have to pay their salaries.
I like Yusuf. I think he is great.
He's an incredible addition to our team.
Yes, he is.
Losing Hannah was hard, because she was great, who has recently left the Press Democrat to take off to Guatemala, which we wish her well on her travels. But he comes from sports, which I don't know a single person who has migrated from sports to news. That's just really rare, because sports is so niche, you know. And he comes from, you know, Georgia Tech type sports, like big football towns and stuff. And once Trump got elected, he was just kind of sick to death of the state of affairs and wanted to be on the side that was looking into stuff versus kind of the sports stuff, which, no offense to those who love the sports, it's just not as possibly important as real news. And he's been just, we were all a little nervous, because you never know when you bring somebody out of sports, like, is this going to go well? And he has done so much work to get to know how everything works. How, you know, he digs in, he listens to everybody, and we've been very thrilled with
him. Yeah, he's a very good writer.
He's a great writer, too.
He really is.
He's always been a good writer. His sports profiles were, I mean, I didn't hire him. That was before my time, but I looked at his stuff when I first got there, and he's just an incredible writer.
But you're no slouch. You've got a bunch of awards here.
I've won a few awards.
Yeah, best coverage of local government, first place.
That was on Safeway gas station, which cracks me up.
Really?
This,
good
like,
job on that. And
this
then
issue.
Best education coverage, first place.
That was on the new program that,
I'm putting you on the spot.
Creekside. Now. No, that's Sonoma. I'm getting my schools mixed up. The for the kids that kind of have fallen out of high school, to bring them back in.
Yeah, right.
I can't remember.
Best writing, first place.
That's my probably proudest story. San Antonio. Thank you. That was an amazing woman who lives here in Petaluma, who family hid out in the jungles of Vietnam during the war, and for 2 years. They just tried to hide from soldiers in the jungles and came to America and tried to set up a life. And she's just one of those people that you meet. You know.
Is this still online?
It is, yes.
Sounds like an interesting story.
It is, yeah.
I'll do a search for it, I guess.
With the women in the military, what was interesting is the immigrant, she was from Malaysia. Oh. And what she said was that she could not participate in, here it goes out of my mind. She could not get a security clearance.
Oh, wow.
Because she was not American-born.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and that was the first time I had heard that. I didn't know that that was the case.
That's a thing, I guess.
That's what she stated.
Wow.
Yeah.
Loyalty questions.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what it is. And so I thought that was pretty interesting.
Best agricultural coverage, first place.
Yes, that was for about falcons in the vineyards, using falcons instead of pesticides to control pests, which is one of my favorite things. It's so cool.
Speaking of pesticides, Roundup, we quit using a long time ago.
Yeah.
And boy, am I glad.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. Sonoma has banned it officially. Been this kind of point of discussion, and I'm like, what's there to discuss?
Exactly. There's not much to discuss.
The city was using it, but didn't they?
You know, I still have to follow up because I saw one of the groups that is paid to do work in the city, and I saw them spraying with no masks on a Sunday. And I kind of followed through, but I haven't completely followed through on that.
We've had some people call us and ask us, like, is the city using Roundup? We think the city's using Roundup, and we should spend some energy.
So there's more. You got general excellence, first place, best agricultural story, first place, best breaking news story, second place, best business story, second place, best environmental coverage, second place, best local news coverage, first place.
You should have, like, some sound so we can do some clapping.
You have a lot of awards here.
Yes, we're very lucky in that we have done some great work. Although I have to say the Argus in general, I believe this is still true. It's the most decorated weekly in the state. We've won general excellence in the California Journalism Awards more than any other weekly.
How about investigative reporting? Because there is a group in the Bay Area that gets together in Berkeley or Oakland.
Center
for Investigative Reporting.
My boss, Darius, is one of the founders.
Well, my cousin was the producer of Spotlight, and she ended up being on that board.
Oh, very nice.
Okay, we have about 15 seconds here, so I want to be able to get in a thank you to Emily Sharier for being here on Inside Petaluma with us today, and go to InsidePetaluma.com if you want to hear the show or any other show, and we will be back next week. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We'll be back next week from 11 to noon.
Thank you for having me.
All right, for being here.
Thank you.